Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's TOC podcast. I'm Joe Weichert, chair of O'Reilly's Tools of Change Conference. This month's TOC theme is formats, and I'm joined today by Joshua Talent. Joshua is founder and CEO of eBook Architects, and that's a company that works with publishers of all sizes to design eBooks for all formats, including Amazon's Kindle. So, Joshua, welcome to this TOC podcast.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate the opportunity.
So tell me, Joshua, first up, what are some of the common mistakes you see publishers making with the Kindle formatted ebooks?
I think the biggest mistake I see is people who just auto-convert content, whether they're using Calibre and trying to convert using tools like that that will automatically convert, PDFs or EPUB files into the Kindle format, or even just running an EPUB file through the Kindle Gen software. As far as formatting is concerned, there are a lot of similarities between EPUB and Kindle, but there are enough differences that I do usually recommend, unless it's a very basic fiction title or nonfiction title that doesn't have any complexity to it, going ahead and pulling the content out of the EPUB and actually doing a real job on the HTML and cleaning up the HTML, doing backwards compatibility, those kinds of things for the Kindle format specifically, so that it's not just an automated process from one to the other.
So the automation itself, and maybe, I guess, we could say publishers' rush to convert a lot of content at once could be leading to some issues that you're seeing?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty big issue, in my opinion, because it ends up leading to lower quality ebooks in the Kindle store than in other stores, and problems with the Kindle devices that are older, that people are trying to read a book on that older device, and it just doesn't look right. It doesn't have the right formatting. So I think that's probably the biggest issue I've seen with what publishers are doing.
Yeah. Okay. So given that, as my understanding of Mobi, Kindle's format, and EPUB, they're on a fairly parallel track in terms of they both are based on HTML, basically, right? Do you ever see them converging? In other words, would Amazon ever come around, do you think, and support EPUB as their output? I know they accept it on an input side.
Yeah, I don't think so. And there are a lot of reasons for that, not the least of which is that having a very proprietary format is beneficial. We've seen this even from other retailers like Apple and Barnes & Noble, who have their own proprietary formats. iBooks Author Multi-Touch Books and the EPIB format that Barnes & Noble uses for children's books. Proprietary formats have been a part of the ebook landscape for many, many years, and I don't see Amazon having the desire to move away from that, because they can control not just the display engine itself and the software that displays the code, but also the code itself. They can actually handle the more common problems and issues behind the scenes, and they can have more control over what happens as the content's being brought in. They also have better control over features. So if they're wanting to add new features to the format, they don't have to go through a committee and hope that somebody will adopt it or do what Apple's been doing and just kind of ignore the committees and come out with their own standards for EPUB 2 that didn't really apply to EPUB 2 according to the spec. So I don't see Amazon deciding that EPUB is really where they want to go, just because there's a lot of value in having that full control over the entire system from start to finish. And the two formats are actually very close. When you get down to it, they're both based on HTML. They're both based on CSS. They both have the same foundational capabilities. But Amazon has those additional benefits of saying, okay, this is how we're going to handle fixed layout titles, or this is how we're going to do comic books, right? Then the comic books with panel view is actually a benefit that they have over EPUB, and it's because they have their own system that they can define those rules very easily and quickly and come out with a system that supports it without having to go through the conversation with a bunch of other people.
So you know what this kind of reminds me of, but with one really big difference, is the way back when, I don't know if you're old enough to know this or not, but the beta versus VHS tape format, right? Where beta was superior, but it was just advocated for by one player, Sony, but the whole rest of the industry rallied around VHS, and so the bulk of the devices out there, VCRs, were all VHS based, so ultimately Sony kind of had to cave. So that's the big difference here. Is of course the bulk of the reading devices in use right now are Kindles as opposed to anything else. Is that a fair comparison?
It's a pretty fair comparison. I think that there's a lot that Amazon can give to the formatting side of the community. There's a lot that Amazon can give as far as the sale of eBooks, and it's still I advocate for both EPUB and for Mobi. So don't get me wrong. The Kindle format is very good, but I also think that EPUB is very good, and I think that the two can work hand in hand, and they can be separate but equal partners in the ebook world. As long as publishers are willing to approach it that way and retailers are willing to approach it that way, there can be a lot of compatibility between the two.
Right.
But there's still a benefit for everyone involved in having a format that is directly connected to the devices that it's being displayed on. That direct connection is still very important. And again, we're seeing this in other retailers as well, that it just makes more sense to stick to that model when you can.
Yeah, it certainly makes it simpler on consumers. I'd like to remind listeners that this podcast is brought to you today by TOC's event partner, Publishers Weekly, and I'm speaking with Joshua Talent. So Joshua, at TOC online in particular, with various articles, but also in person, we've done a lot of talking about HTML5 and why that's the format publishers should be focusing on. And obviously, publishers have to focus on Mobi today because they want to be in the world's biggest ebook ecosystem. But do you feel like that will always be the case, or can something like HTML5 ultimately replace Mobi, EPUB, or anything else that might come up?
Well, in some ways, the question is kind of a non-question, because MobiPi, or the Kindle Format 8, which is their Amazon's latest version of their format, actually is compatible with HTML5. It uses HTML5 just like EPUB 3 does.
Right.
So to say that HTML5 would replace Mobi or replace the Kindle format really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's like saying, would HTML5 replace EPUB? Well, the two have very, in some ways, very distinct characteristics. HTML5 is contained in a container called EPUB, or a container called Kindle format, but it's really just part, the container is really what the format is supposed to come down to. I don't think that HTML5 is ready personally. I think that there's still a lot of things that need to happen in the web space to make it really work with ebooks. And this is where having a container that can control things a little more easily, things like widows and orphans and these other features of books and even page layout capabilities that you just don't necessarily have in the web world, but that we can specify in an ebook. And this is one of the reasons why in EPUB, the EPUB specific data attributes are being used, is because it makes it a lot easier to define things that you really just can't do in standard HTML5 as it's viewed on different browsers. So anyway, I think that in the future, yes, we will see HTML5 take a more direct role in the ebook world. What that is, though, is really going to be determined by the software itself that's using that HTML5, right? If we're saying browsers are going to be the place where people read ebooks, well, then browsers need to be able to handle ebooks better than they do currently. And if we're going to say that HTML5 is the end all and be all of ebooks, I kind of disagree with that personally, because I think the container is still going to be important. That one container for the content still makes sense to a reader, to a consumer. They still think, okay, I can download a book, right? So getting a file that is in the form of, EPUB or Kindle or whatever, still kind of makes logical sense to a consumer who's equating that with a physical book of some kind. And it's going to take some time for us to get to make the software applications and the interactivity for the consumer that makes them get out of that mindset and think more along the lines of, I'm consuming content, and whether that content is a book or whether it's a website or whether it's, something else, it's all going to be related in a different way that doesn't really necessarily require the package itself. So I think it'll take some time to get to that point, though.
Yeah, and the way I look at it is trying to maybe simplify things and saying, rather than being forced to read a Kindle book in a Kindle app, why not be able to just do it right in a browser? And your point about, can you have a local version of it, I think that could be overcome pretty easily just by caching that content locally. But it sounds like you're saying that there are some really distinct capabilities, let's say, that you can put into a Kindle ebook today that you wouldn't be able to do on HTML5 implementation on its own. Is that right?
Kind of. I mean, think of again the comics comic book panel view capability.
Yeah.
In order to make that work in a browser, you'd have to, well, and especially if you want to make it work in every browser, they'd have to do a lot of coding to have that, work properly and have the correct interface for consumers. Whereas if they build their own software that's not web-based, their own display engine, it doesn't really require as much effort in a lot of ways. And it's a little more specific to the device that they want to have a display on. It's the same issues we've always had on the web. If you want to look at HTML content on a certain browser, it may look better in Chrome than it does in IE. And that's just because of the nature of the different browsing engines. And, you know, some features of HTML5 will work differently because HTML5 still isn't baked. There's some things that just don't work exactly the same way in every single browser. And so those little things, those differences, just make it more difficult for the programmer to have to develop a display interface for the content. And I think that that's where we really need to grow in the HTML5 side of things. I bring up the point that Facebook was using HTML5 for its display across all of its mobile platforms, and then, you know, said that even though HTML5 is good, it's not quite there yet for what they needed it to do, and it was made more sense to develop native code for their mobile applications because it was just easier to work with. And I think that's still kind of where we are in the mobile web world. And again, that's the reason why I think the proprietary display engines, the applications that you can put on your iPhone or your Android phone or Android tablet or whatever, those applications are just going to be easier for the retailers, whoever they are, Barnes & Noble, Apple, whoever, to develop than trying to come up with systems that will work on every single device that's out there and on every browser, on every single device or every single computer that's out there. Just it broadens the base a lot more than what a lot of people programmers are able to interact with in today's world, and it's just right. Too hard.
Okay. All right. So what would you say are the biggest shortcomings of Amazon's format? In other words, where does this format need to be enhanced most?
I think the fixed layout capabilities really need to be enhanced. I mean, obviously Apple has a leg up on everybody in that side of things. I think that they could definitely do some things to pick up some of the features that are in EPUB 3 that they don't currently support or don't support really that well. You know, there are some things that Amazon really needs to work on for foreign language support, MathML, that kind of thing. But, you know, I think that they're on par in a lot of ways with where the rest of the market is. And I really do see Amazon listening to developers. I mean, they contact people all the time and have conversations with people like me all the time, asking for input. What can they do better? What can they do differently in their format to make it more accepted, more understood, easier to work with, and have better support for the things that we really need in our ebooks? So I think that just like EPUB, it's a growing format, and it's not stagnant like it was for many years. It actually is moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you may have just partially answered my next question. I don't know if fixed layout support or better fixed layout support would be part of this, but do you have any predictions for what's next from Amazon in the format?
Well, I keep on seeing them do things like updating older devices to support KF8 so that there's less of a need for backwards compatibility. Obviously, I do think that they'll continue working on the fixed layout side of things. But I found with the latest announcement with the new devices, I found that I was extremely surprised to see the direction they headed with things like the audible reading narration connection,
right,
which I didn't expect that. So I think that Amazon has a lot of tricks up its sleeve that we're not even aware of yet. And so hopefully we'll see more of these the features that they're integrating into the new devices, things like the serials where you can actually update files without getting rid of highlights and annotations. I hope that comes into the standard ebooks as well, and
yeah,
gives us more kind of fine grained control over updating errors inside of ebooks easily without having to mess with people's annotations.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's a great point. Okay, yeah. All right. Well, Joshua Talent, thank you so much for talking to us today on this TOC podcast.
Thank you, Joe.